Michael Duke Show. It's a rational attitude. We've got. Call now.
The Michael Duke Show.
On your home for Common Sense Radio. Call now.
458-8255.
Welcome to your home for Common Sense Radio, the Michael Duke Show, right here on KFAR 660 AM, the heartbeat of Alaska. Thanks for coming in and joining us, weekend edition of the show, and getting ready to kick things off here. We're going to be talking with Representative Tammy Wilson during the program today, and we'll be chit-chatting with her about everything that's going on down there in Juneau, including some crazy stuff that's happening on Monday. We'll talk with her about that here in just a few moments. But first things first, I guess, has anybody been watching the news? Has anybody been watching about this thing going on? I guess it was yesterday. All these young students, these minds full of mush, as Mr. Limbaugh would say, they're having their say. According to KTVF and the Newsminer and, I don't know, probably everybody else, about 100 students walked out of Randy Smith Middle School yesterday to demonstrate, to call on Congress to do something about gun violence. The Newsminer said they made speeches, they chanted, they held signs. Some of these signs are great. I mean, protect kids, not guns. Okay. All right. How do you think we protect those kids? I mean, you know, maybe with guns? I'm shaking my head. You know, this whole AstroTurf movement that came out of Florida, which, again, nobody except for the Washington Beacon actually even reported on, was the fact that this was all, you know, Michael Bloomberg, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, you know, the Florida Education Association. I mean, these people were all the ones that were involved in making all this happen and organizing it behind the scenes and training the speakers and doing all this other kind of stuff. I guess just showing that, you know, no crisis is sacrosanct and it's okay. We just do what we got to do, right? So here are our kids, you know, of course, wanting to do something, and I don't have a problem with that. Although I could probably safely say that if we were going to do a walkout when I was a kid, it probably wouldn't have happened simply because the school probably wouldn't have allowed for it. They would have said your protest can happen after school or, you know, whatever. But I mean, here you got teachers standing around. They provided the kids with a sound system and a podium and, all this kind of stuff. And I guess my question is, what does it do? First of all, I'm looking at pictures of all these kids standing around in their T-shirts and their sweat, and they're just shivering. They look like they're cold. So why did you let them outside without coats, I guess, was my first question. But then, what does it accomplish? I mean, how are we helping? Are we doing it to raise awareness? Is that the thing? Are we just wanting to have our voice be heard? And, are they protesting? And I think my whole mindset on this is just, I'm just kind of flabbergasted by this whole thing. And then I watched, then I was reading a lot of the comments on KTVF's Facebook page, right? They got out there, and I'm not sure if it was a student who was reporting or if it was, I don't know. I don't know who it was. But I'm just reading all the different comments, and you know, Thomas McGee, who's a friend of mine, commented in there, "I pray they're protesting how the sheriff's department, the FBI, and the school let this tragedy happen. The very government entities that their parents pay taxes for to protect them let them down and left them down and left them vulnerable." And that's the truth right there. See, that's what's being missed in this whole thing. All these things that we needed to do to stop these events, the see something, say something, the, let the FBI handle, let the local sheriffs, they did. They let them handle it. And what happened? 17 children were killed. Which, of course, then led the president to utter, some pretty awesome words, right? Here's what the president said.
"Well, like, take the firearms first and then go to court, because that's another system. Because a lot of times by the time you go to court, it takes so long to go to court to get the due process procedures. I like taking the guns early, like in this crazy man's case that just took place in Florida. He had a lot of firearms. They saw everything. To go to court would have taken a long time. So you could do exactly what you're saying, but take the guns first, go through due process."
Okay, so take the guns first. This guy had a lot of, he had a lot of files. He had a lot of things going. I mean, if you'd wanted to take the time, again, 23 reported incidences to the sheriff's department over the course of 2 years. Are you telling me over the course of 2 years, somebody couldn't have done a due process? Then the FBI dropping the ball and not passing the latest batch of tips off to their local field office and everything. But, other than that, no big deal. But let's get the kids out there and they'll, let them be heard, because that will make a difference. And I guess in a way I'm like, okay, hey, protest. That's good. But do you truly understand the issue? In my mind, looking at these political signs, I don't think that they understand the issue. Protect kids, not guns. Is that what you really think is happening? Do you think any of the proposed gun laws that have been thrown out there would have stopped any of this shooting or any of the previous shootings? Well, an assault weapons ban would have, okay, well, except that they're already, so-called assault weapons in the hands of, what was the last count? I think it was something like 15 or 16 million AR rifles in America. I don't know what everybody else has, That doesn't leave a lot for, after me, that doesn't leave a lot for everybody else. But 15 or 16 million ARs, plus every other variant of so-called assault rifle out there. So, what does this do? How does this help? And again, I'm all for them having their voice. Don't get me wrong. But I'm for them having their voice and understanding what the issue is. What this looks like to me, and maybe it's just my jaded personality, what this looks like to me is this looks like something that some adults have kind of fomented and, again, are utilizing the children for a photo op. Made a great photo op. All the news media was there. I mean, KTVF was there. The Newsminer was there. Looked like everybody was there. Right? This it makes it look like a great photo op. Except for the fact that the kids again are not wearing clothes. But other than that, I don't know. Your thoughts on that, if you'd like to sound off, 458-TALK, 458-8255. Email address is me@michaeldukeshow.com, me@michaeldukeshow.com. The problem, of course, is that nobody's willing to have an honest conversation about gun violence. Nobody's willing to have a discussion on the actual facts. I actually posted an interesting graph that I was just pleased as punch to find. And the graph was from the American Enterprise Institute. And I'm sorry, it's not the American Enterprise Institute, the American Economic, it's a libertarian think tank. I can't remember what the name of it is right now. Here we go. American Economic Institute, American Economics Institute. Anyway, they, it was written by Mark Perry, who's a scholar and a professor of economics at the University of Michigan's Flint campus. And he wrote this very interesting piece that was, when was it dated? Oh, this is December 4th of 2015. And the piece is very interesting because it basically talks about guns per person versus homicide rates from 1993 to 2013. And what's interesting is that this graph shows, and it's up on my Facebook page. You can find it at facebook.com/Michael Duke Show. You can see that there's this inverse proportion to it. That guns back in 1994, you know, that the homicide rate started out at 7 per 100,000. And then over the course of the next, 20 years, it dropped from 7 per 100,000 down to 3.6 per 100,000. So it dropped in half, essentially. While gun ownership in America started off at about 0.94 guns per person in this country to 1.45 guns per person in this country. Again, almost doubling. And again, at the rate that reporting is done on that stuff, because most of this is like polls and self-reporting, most people are a little hesitant to say how many guns they have. I mean, if somebody said, how many guns do you have in your home? I go, a few. I mean, you know, I'm not going to tell you how many I've got. Less than an armory, more than a single one. I mean, what do you say? But when you start talking and you look at this inverse graph where it's this X where gun homicides continue to decline and gun ownership continues to increase. And then he also did another graph because he said people were complaining that that other graph could be skewed. So he does it strictly as a percentage. Starting in 1994, the rise in the percentage of privately owned firearms and the decline in the percentage of gun homicide rates. Privately owned firearms increased 56% in 20 years. And they decreased 49%. The homicide rate decreased by 49% in 20 years. So those are some stats. We could talk about the issue of gun-free zone. We could talk about psychotropic drugs. We could talk about a lot of stuff in this. But the problem is that nobody wants to have an actual discussion on this topic. All they want to do is say, if you don't agree with him, you want children to die. We're going to talk with Tammy Wilson here in just a second, but we got a phone call. Let's go over here and see what you have to say. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Brother Mike.
Hello, Brother Will. How are you, sir?
Well, I am alive and above ground, so I'm blessed. That's
always a plus.
Yeah. Now, these assault weapons, does that include the 1903 Springfield? Does that include the... what the heck is it called? It's got the Garand-type stock. They used it in World War II.
Well, it doesn't include the Garand, doesn't include the doesn't include the 03 Springfield, doesn't include... None of those look scary enough, Will.
And what about the British Springfield, or British Enfield?
Yeah. No, doesn't include the Enfield. Doesn't include, you know, some of the old Mausers. Doesn't include, I mean, many guns. Does it include the lever action that were used by the cavalry? Does it include many weapons that were, and quite honestly, well, my always question has been, so a weapon that is used to assault someone, is that an assault weapon? No, just the weapons that we're calling assault. Why are you calling them assault? Well, because they look scary, because, you know, they're meant to kill people. All guns are meant to kill people. All guns are meant to be used for defense. They're used to kill something, whether it's a person or an animal or whatever. That's what it's used for.
and I, this is something I've yet to understand from these people. They want to disarm the Americans. Why didn't the Japanese attack the West Coast or try to invade the West Coast during World War II?
Because, as Yamamoto said, there would be a gun behind every blade of grass.
And that's because we had a directorate on firearms marksmanship in the United States government, and you could apply and get a 1903 Springfield from the Springfield Armory that had been rebuilt at that time. Then you have director of civilian marksmanship after World War II, and you could get the Garand.
Yeah.
And you had to qualify to get it by going to target shoots and proving that you knew which end of the rifle the bullet came out of.
Right.
And,
well, that's what's kept us the freest nation on the face of the earth, Will, both from foreign enemies, like you say, the Japanese, et cetera, but also it's an implicit threat against our own government to make sure that they don't overstep their bounds. Not that they haven't done their damnedest over the last 200 years to do so.
And I was talking to my cousin down in Texas. He said a reporter got on TV news down there and told people that automatic weapons were illegal, which is a downright lie. All you have to do is be able to afford the tax stamp. Or an FFL.
That's the problem, Will, is that you got a bunch of talking heads on the television that their sum total of their firearms knowledge was pulled off of some Wikipedia page or something else. And that's what we're left with. Will, I appreciate the call, but I have got to fly here. I've got to take a quick break. I've got Tammy Wilson on hold. We're going to be back with more. Don't go anywhere. The Michael Duke Show continues right here on the Heartbeat of Alaska.
Michael Duke Show.
Want to see inside Michael's head? Just log on to Facebook and search The Michael Duke Show. You'll find articles and stories with a common sense theme. Not on Facebook? You can see the same stories by logging on to MichaelDukeShow.com.
All right, we're back. Welcome to the Saturday edition of The Michael Duke Show. Looking like maybe here next week or so, we might be coming back with a daily edition of the program as well, again. You'll be able to view that on Facebook Live, and we'll probably have links up for audio stream as well at MichaelDukeShow.com. We'll know more about that here this next week as we get things rolling in. Joining us on the phone right now, though, is Representative Tammy Wilson from House District 3. She's here today to talk with us about your PFD and the danger it's in, plus some other stuff as well. Welcome to the program.
Sorry, telling time is obviously an art I forgot today.
No, it's okay. I figured it's Saturday. You probably got busy doing something else, and that's what happens sometimes. I wanted to talk a little bit about this protest anyway, and I'm just...
because I wrote Kroger and told them that I was going to sell my stock, which I have, and I was going to go to Fred Meyer. Would you like to hear the email I got back from them just today?
What'd you get back from them?
Dear Tammy, thank you for contacting Kroger Customer Connect. I do apologize for the delay in response due to high email volume. I wonder why.
I bet.
Kroger's vision is to serve America through food inspiration and uplift. In response to the tragic events in Parkland and elsewhere, we've taken a hard look at our policies and procedures for firearm sales. We follow all state and local laws regulating the sales of sporting-related firearms at our selected general merchandise Fred Meyer stores. Recent events demonstrate the need for additional action on the part of responsible gun retailers. We are raising the minimum age to 21 to purchase firearms and ammunition in all of our Fred Meyer locations that sell firearms. We stopped selling assault-style rifles in our Oregon, Washington, and Idaho Fred Meyer stores several years ago, and we will no longer accept any special orders of these weapons in Alaska. Through Restock Kroger, we have a robust space optimization effort underway in many of our stores, including Fred Meyer locations. As we refresh stores, we are often transitioning our gun departments due to softer demand and changing customer preferences. Pretty sure that's not in Alaska. We believe these are common sense steps we can take immediately that are in line with our values and our vision. We have shared your comments with our Kroger leadership team and apologize for the inconvenience. So I basically said I was disappointed to hear the new policy not to sell ammunition to those under the age of 21. I will be selling my Kroger stock and will no longer shop at our local Fred Meyer until this policy is reversed. One question, which they didn't answer, doesn't a single mother under 21 have a right to protect herself and her children if someone tries to hurt them? Ooh, right. They didn't talk about that one.
Yeah, no, so, of course they didn't, because that would be, you know, I mean, all I can do is I want to mail everything FedEx that I can mail these days, because they're the only major company that stood up to this whole nonsense anyway. So it's
And that's what you have to do. Just so you know, I mean, people have to, you know, I got some comments on my Facebook of, well, you know, people will be out of work in this. You know, when corporations make a decision like this, the only way that you really can fight back is to say, I am going to support those who have the same values as I have.
Yep. And it's so totally within their right to do so.
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
That was an argument I got in with somebody on Facebook, which I try not to, but occasionally it happens. And I'm like, you're misunderstanding me. They could do whatever they want, but I could also choose where to spend my money.
And
that's
exactly,
you know, that's
I
the whole thing.
Too. Absolutely.
Yeah. So anyway, it's an infuriating thing. I don't know exactly what the thought is of the school board here on this, but you know, hey, that's why I don't send my kids to public school. So what are you going to do? Yeah. I guarantee you my kids aren't out there protesting in that regard. They're saying things like, well, why would we want to take the guns? Because it's the only thing protecting us from people like this. Yep. That's pretty much it right there.
It is. I'm telling you. And so, but Facebook is a nice way of kind of getting it out there, because I did the same thing on a Facebook page, on my page on HJR23, which is the messed up resolution to change the Constitution so that you, the public, will give permission to the Democrats to promise you no more than $1,250.
And
the bulk of the money would go to government.
Apparently, somebody in the Democratic Party did not get the memo that this whole campaign season is going to be about protecting the PFD, because that's what I hear a lot of people talking about. I hear most people are discussing the loss of the PFD and everything that's going on with it, and that the candidates they're supporting are ones that are supporting to protect the PFD. Or are the Democrats trying to paint this as some kind of policy that will protect the PFD?
That's exactly what they're saying. And just so you know, Senator Wilkowski has a constitutional amendment that is very different from this one. So we're talking about the one that the House Democrats have all signed on to. They take a 5% of market value, which we've already heard that that's way too much. What we haven't clarified, because we haven't heard the bill yet, we'll hear it Monday, which is the same time public comment will happen immediately. We heard that there's a committee substitute, but I'm pretty sure it's not going to be much better. They have guaranteed $1,250 with a caveat if for some reason, and say you have a really bad market year, you can't pay $1,250, because remember, the government's taking the majority of the money here when they take it out of the earnings reserve. Then they'll backfill it with unrestricted general funds. Now, what's wrong with that? If you have taken too much out of the earnings reserve where you can't pay it, obviously oil is down again and any other resources that you have. The only way the Democrats would make it to where then you could pay a dividend is by increasing taxes, whether you're talking about fish tax, gas tax, new income tax, new sales tax. So now, to save your PFD, we're going to tax you and then give it part of it back to those who work. And those who don't work, well, they just get the $1,250, because we'll tax the people who are working to make sure we give it to them.
Wow.
It's the craziest thing I have ever seen. It's like pretty much everybody in the Democrat majority have signed on to this bill. And I think they're just starting to figure out, oh, my goodness, it doesn't do what I thought it did. Huh. You ought to read first.
Well, they haven't even maybe you should read it before you sign on to it. I mean, who is the – all right, hold on a second. We're going to have to hold on, because I'm already running long for the break. So hold on one second. Tammy Wilson's our guest. We're going to come back and talk more about the – I mean, again, my just blood shooting from my eyes. The Michael Duke Show continues right here on the Heartbeat of Alaska, KFAR 660 AM. Back with more right after Fox News Radio.
Now you're cooking with gas. The Michael Duke Show.
Don't feel like talking on the phone? No problem. Drop an email to the show. Just email me at michaeldukeshow.com. That's me at michaeldukeshow.com. Or join us in our chat room anytime during the show. Just go to kfar660.com and click on the Chat With Us link. And now, back to the Michael Duke Show.
Welcome back to the program. Thanks for coming in and joining us. This hour of the program brought to you, as always, by your friends over there at Papa Murphy's Take and Bake over there on Murhar and on Airport and University, and by the Fairbanks Hearing and Ballot Center. Tammy Wilson is our guest today. We're talking about the new House Joint Resolution HJR 23, which essentially kills the original PFD, the whole concept behind it. Now, Tammy, who is the author of this abortion?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask that. I'm going to have to look that one up because they're all signed on, so they all agree with it.
They all agree with it, so everybody's on board.
I have heard that some of them are thinking about taking their name out, but I got to remind you, there's a committee of one, right? Representative Seaton, which we've heard about before, is bringing out a committee substitute, which he has not bothered to share with any of us. I don't know whether he shared it with the other side or not. But since I kind of know how most of the things have come from that side, I'm figuring that it's really not going to be that much different than some. I think he'll lower the 5% down to 4.5 or 4.75. But as far as the structure goes, I'm not seeing a big, you know, that there's going to be a big difference in it. It is Mr. Tuck, Representative Tuck. So we have Representative Tuck, Ledoux, Edgman, Seaton, Foster, Kawasaki, Christ, Tompkins, Drummond, Bonholz, Parrish, Tarr, and Josephson. So Representative Guttenberg is not on that. So it is 12 of the 22 are on it currently.
Wow. And I guess again, what I said earlier, I think still holds true. How tone deaf are these people in what the public is really getting concerned about? I mean, this is going to be a huge, or should I say, in the words of the president, a huge issue. It's a huge issue. This is going to be the biggest issue of the upcoming election. It's the cornerstone of what Dunleavy has made his campaign. And I'll be honest with you, if I was running against any of these jackals, it would be the first thing that I would be talking about at every event. And now they're going to sign onto a new bill that would completely change it and give the money to the government indefinitely. I mean, how out of touch are these people?
Well, and they're going to do their due diligence. Let me tell you how much they're going to do their due diligence. So it will be up on Monday at 1:30. And that's when they'll describe whatever this committee substitute is. And then you'll have to testify right after. And guess when the next time we'll hear it? Tuesday at 1:30. So I'm pretty sure they plan on passing it out of finance on Tuesday, have it on the floor Wednesday. And they plan on having this voted on before the end of the week. Now, there's one good thing. Until they have a constitutional amendment, they need 27 people. They have 22. And what they're going to try to do is they're going to try to paint the Republicans and say that we don't want to protect your dividend, which is completely untrue. We don't want them to restructure, which is what we've been fighting the governor now for, what, almost 4 years, on trying to change everything that was put into place that has protected it all this time. And I also want to remind anybody who's listening, this will be the first time that your dividend that you did not get will be spent on government. Because up till now, even though you have not gotten your full dividend the last 2 years, it's all been being invested, correct? So at least right. There's a possibility of getting a new governor in there and getting this taken care of in the right way. But they are going to stick their hand in the cookie jar and take your dividend that has been saved for the last couple years and use it for government after they have spent even more money on this budget than even the governor spent.
Hey, but don't worry. Folks like Randy say it's okay. We don't need to put any more pressure on them to keep the size and scope of government down. They need this money.
What pressure has been put on them?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, that's my point the whole time.
There's no pressure. Obviously, there's no pressure. Okay, so I had an amendment. I had a lot of amendments, but specifically one. So the governor has a contingency fund of $550,000. Even on the most that we could find that he ever spent it on, there was no more than $300,000. And he's not even using it for an emergency. Some was redistricting. Some was for his transition team, $150,000. But anyway, it's not much of an emergency fund. At least he's not spending it that way. I took it down just to $400,000, right?
Right.
And I got it. It passed. Representative Ortiz, Representative Grin, and Representative Kawasaki all voted that we should take this money down to $400,000. Well, after thinking about it for 24 hours, they weren't so sure, so they bring it back up. So what happens, you ask? Well, Representative Grin kept his vote to taking the money. And just so you know, the only argument that they have is the legislature never touches the governor budget, and the governor never touches the legislature budget. Well, you know, for wasting money, he should touch ours, and we should touch his.
Yeah,
Representative Ortiz all of a sudden decided, they might take my legislative money over something. And you ask yourself, how did Representative Kawasaki vote? Well, he happened not to be in the room at the time when they decided to try it again. So it failed 5-5. He would have been the deciding vote. And up to that point, we stopped everything. Anytime somebody stepped out to the restroom or, of course, had to go talk to the agencies to find out what their argument was because they didn't know. And, yeah, just not there. Wonder how he would have voted. But we will.
Yeah,
find
I wonder.
Out, you know me,
we'll never know now, right?
Oh,
I mean,
yes, we will. Because you know Representative Wilson, she'll put it back on the floor for an amendment.
Right.
I know he wants to have that opportunity to re-vote. Yes.
This is...
Well, obviously the vote wasn't yes, is what I can tell you. Because he would have made sure that he was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the problem, Tammy. I mean, we've got no interest in actually fixing the size and scope of government. I mean, there is no discussion.
Worse than that. I mean, we're fine taking walks on important votes. I mean, so it's not just a disinterest of even trying to even. I mean, all I was reducing is $150,000 that in the last 10 years has never been used. But yet, all that extra money that stays in there when they want to do a payroll tax or an income tax or move up the gas tax or any of those things, you're going to be funding funds that they haven't even utilized. They're not even willing to cut out things that aren't even being used because, well, they'll just give it back. But you don't know that at the end, how much gets back. And I mean, you can find out, but I mean, at the time to fully fund the budget, you're going to have to tax people for those amounts of money that they may or may not use. I mean, that's just, if that's not government waste, I have absolutely no idea what is.
Yeah. I've just come to the conclusion that there is no political will to make this happen, that I think we're going to have to vote people out. I think that that's what's
starting with the governor.
Yeah. Well, I agree with that. Yeah. I agree with that totally.
I mean, at the end of the day, he isn't, you know, and the reason I say that, okay, so we appropriate the money, we make a budget. We have little to no control once it leaves here. But my understanding is Governor Murkowski did a 10% across-the-board wage freeze for, I believe, at least a year. Might have been two. Those things
right.
can be done by the administration.
Well, he could have had a hiring freeze. He could have had a travel freeze. He could have done a lot of different things to continue to cut. And he talked a good game before he came in. But since then, it's just been up, 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 up.
I think it was 16% of a decrease, and there's not been a decrease. Or this year he says, well, I've decreased the budget. Right. You decreased the main part of the operating budget. I'll give you that part because you moved operating costs over here to this possible payroll tax. So you took it out, made it from unrestricted general funds to now designated general funds or other funds because it's a tax.
Right, because now the overall spending, though, still continues to go up.
Oh, and wait till you add those back in, because I'm pretty sure there's not going to be a payroll tax, you know, passed. I'm pretty sure. I'm going to say it can't happen because nothing's for sure in this world.
Yeah. I'm astonished. So Tammy, what does this mean for Alaskans? What do we need to be doing to work on this? What should we be doing?
Well, first of all, I want to thank people. I put my email in because I wasn't, you know, I don't really necessarily trust that we'll get it from if I put anybody else's. So people have been emailing me for the last 24 hours. We're immediately sending them to House Finance to be dispersed because we know people work on Monday.
Right.
And for them to be able to sit around because we'll probably have a lot of things on the House floor. Now they've got 21 people here, which they haven't had for a long time. So there'll be some bad bills that'll get moved because we wouldn't vote for them. So we don't even know if it'll start at 1:30, and that's what makes it even worse. If they really want to know what people wanted, they would have it during the evening hours, but they just want to pretend they want to know. So emailing in helps. Pick up the phone Monday morning, or you can pick up the phone today. I've only seen about three people here, but they all have answering machines. Call your legislator. Let them know that you are not in favor of HJR 23 and give them the reasons that you're not in favor of it. You put things like this in the Constitution Amendment, even if we weren't even talking about the dividend, if we were just talking about a percent of market value, to put enshrine something like that in the Constitution and then get it wrong, whether it's too high, and that's what I'm more concerned about, it's too high at 5%, which we've been warned against, you will literally dwindle the fund down faster than any other way because you can't ever guarantee that somebody would say, well, we really should just take 4, so we'll put the other percent back. Again, we're talking about government. Do you really
right.
want to count on that that's happening? This is one of the most dangerous things I've ever seen us do down here. And what for them to want to railroad this through, I mean, and this came out 5/5/2017. This came out May of last year. Nobody's been working on it. Nobody's been talking about the numbers. And then it's going to come up on Monday, voted Tuesday, on the floor on Wednesday, and then Thursday or Friday, they're going to hold a vote.
So it's never been introduced.
This will be the first, because it only got financed. This will be its first introduction on Monday.
So nobody's really had a chance to read it. I mean,
and they're going to make a committee substitute so you can even read what there is and see how bad this one is. We don't know the Committee of One of Representative Seaton, you know, the one who made the big complicated income tax one, just to remind you, how
right.
his will be different than here. So they're going to roll this out on Monday at, you know, approximately 1:30 or later, depending upon what happens on the House floor, explain it in their own way, which we're learning that that's not always.
Right, the way it actually is, right?
It. And then say, okay, guys, why don't you tell us what you think?
And we're going to vote on it, by the way.
And we're really not going to listen because Tuesday we've already decided we don't want anybody to amend or do anything to try to fix it because we're going to have it 1:30 the next day and move it on out. And I don't think you can fix. Sometimes you just can't fix bad.
Well, then, because you can't unpickle a pickle. Sometimes it's easier to go get a new cucumber, right? I mean, it's just you're done. So I think everybody needs to start again. HJR, what is it? HJR 239?
No, 23. HJR 23.
HJR 23.
And you might want to start with Representative Tuck, since he's the one who kind of came up with a wonderful idea.
Yeah, this is a horrible. And again, I want to remind people that this is the same group of people who are going to be asking for your vote this fall. I mean, all 40 representatives are up for re-election. So if their name is on this bill, these are the people that, you know, they're saying, oh, we're protecting. No, they're taking your dividend. Taking
they're it. They're jeopardizing in a way that has never been jeopardized before. Because one thing I don't even understand yet for sure is because when you start combining funds, and I'm not sure whether this one keeps the principles separate, and I'm going to go with probably does not, and that's why they want to make it a constitutional amendment, because remember, the only way to protect the principle is to keep it, you know, like
right.
it is without any kind of vote. What we haven't gotten is that when they take this 5% percent of market value, it's at 5% of the entire fund, which that would be real messed up, or 5% of just the earnings reserve that's within the fund. Because if they start doing it of the whole, that's when you could, so let's say next year you only make 3%. And it's happened.
Now
I mean, you never know what the market's going to do.
Now they're eating 2% of the principal of the fund.
Right. So my understanding, you know, the main reason you would want to do something like this in a constitutional amendment is because they know it's the only way to unlock the principal. And I'll tell you right now, you unlock the principal, they'll take, if, you know, if the Democrats don't take it, then Walker will take it for one of his special projects.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
You know, this is just when I don't think it could get it any worse, they prove me wrong.
Tabby Wilson is our guest. Tabby, we got to take just a 30-second break here. We'll be back with more and your phone calls. I got a couple phone calls here. We'll continue with this. The Michael Duke Show continues right here on the Heartbeat of Alaska.
Common sense. The Michael Duke Show.
All right, we're back. The Michael Duke Show. Sorry, we had to pay a couple bills there. We're down to the last less than 4 minutes here of the program. We got a couple calls. Tammy, I'm going to ask you to hold on over the top of the hour since you were late. We'll keep you with us here into the next hour if you have time. But let's take some phone calls first over here. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Randy.
Randy, go ahead.
I read about this plan in the Anchorage Daily News March 9, entitled Plan to Amend Constitution for PFD Placed Ahead of Budget. And I saw in the paper where it mentioned you, Tammy. It said that the a spokesman for the House Republican minority referred questions to North Pole Republican Representative Tammy Wilson. And I was greatly relieved when I saw that you did not go along with this plan that's been put forward by the Democrat House majority. But in this article, it reveals the devious, evil plan, sinister, real goal of this. It says here in this March 9th article, it says, and since the dividend portion of the fund would be harder to tap, meaning if it was enshrined in the Constitution, be harder to tap, it says the House majority's proposal could eventually further its goal of passing other measures like taxes to raise additional state revenue. And that's one reason I've been terrified of enshrining it in the Constitution is because it's a surefire way of getting the income tax, and this paper here says the same thing. So thank you for not going along with that. I know your reasons are a little different from mine, but basically I want to keep our PFD dividend a pure, honest dividend and keep it from becoming an income transfer payment, welfare payment. Don't want that.
Well, just to interrupt Tammy real quick before she gets started, I don't think that means she's against enshrining the formula in the Constitution. Tammy, you're yes or no?
No, I'm fine enshrining the formula because that's what was meant to be done. But you start talking about how much you can start taking out of the permanent fund as a whole, you're going to end up with nothing, you know, including the corpus, because that to me is, again, what they're trying to do here. They're trying to be able to get the corpus and do exactly what Randy said, too, to force, you know, to where, well, you know, we don't want to do an income tax, but we have to because you, the people, voted that we can only have this much, and it's not enough because we can't cut anything, and now we'll have to tax you. I mean, it is just low to go this way.
Less than a minute. Randy, thank you for your call. Less than a minute, Tammy, in this segment. I guess my final question is, this is a constitutional amendment. So this would move forward, and then would the people have to vote on that? Give us the details of the mechanics of it.
Absolutely. Any constitutional amendment, what it is it has to be passed by the House and the Senate by 3/4 vote, and then it would go on the general election. So if this were to move through, which again, they need 27, and I'm hoping they can't get it. I'm pretty sure they can't get it, but I don't speak for everybody. I can just tell you how I would vote. And it would then, if it were to pass the Senate as well, which I'm pretty sure it won't, it would go on the November election. So it would give Governor Walker a lot of time to talk about why he thought he touched the dividend first. That
right.
would be special. But the rest of it, you know how it is when people start putting things out there, it's not always factual with what
right.
they put out there. And I just, you know, this does not protect anything except the possibility of some type of taxes coming your way.
Well, then it becomes a PR war because then it becomes battling yep. Commercials about how it's there to protect your dividend, and it's really not, and more and more. We're going to talk some more about this on the other side and some other issues that I want to talk with Tammy about. The Michael Duke Show continues right here on KFAR 660 AM, the Heartbeat of Alaska, brought to you by your friends at Papa Murphy's and the Fairbanks Hearing and Ballot Center. We're going to be back with more. Your home for Common Sense Radio, the Michael Duke Show, weekend edition, Saturday, hour two of the big radio broadcast. Thanks for coming in and joining us. We're continuing our discussions now of estate nature. We've been hitting it off with Representative Tammy Wilson, who's been giving us the rundown on HJR 23. That's House Joint Resolution 23, which would put on the ballot a constitutional amendment, essentially taking the majority of your PFD. So be cautious, folks, when we're talking about constitutional amendments, and Randy mentioned it in the last hour, and I think, unfortunately, he was almost conflating the two. We were talking previously in previous shows about the constitutional amendment that's forwarded by people like the Alaska PFD Defenders and Mike Dunleavy, which would enshrine the actual original formula in the Constitution. Tammy, this HJR 23 would change all that. It's a POMV scheme. It takes the vast majority, gives it to government. So it's a completely different PFD plan that they want to enshrine, correct?
Correct. And what I love in their sponsor statement, this resolution would allow a vote to the people of Alaska, which that's true, to decide that the permanent fund dividend should be protected in the Alaska Constitution. Protected on their terms. Again,
right.
1,250 is the only guarantee that's in there. A 5% percent of market value, which would give government about 4% of that 5%.
Right. Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, forget about your $3,000 dividend that you're owed by the old formula. Forget about all this other stuff. They're here to protect. This is the same things that Governor Walker did when he said, oh, well, the only way to protect it is to destroy it. The only way to protect it is to spend it. Because if not, look at this chart. This chart shows that it runs out of money. Of course, his chart doesn't account for any additional earnings being deposited in it. So, of course, it runs out of money because you're not depositing anything back into it. So, I mean, it was true, but it was false at the same time. These are the kind of accounting lies that politicians use on the people all the time.
Well, and not just that. What's kind of interesting is they don't even know what bills they have in front of them. Because we had an amendment a few days ago that was to inflation-proof, which we haven't done in the last 3 years. But, you know, I would like to see some wording in there that we're going to make it up. But for this year, since the stock market did so well and we're over $15 billion in the earnings reserve, we should put the $900-something million back in. That's how you keep the fund strong. The
right.
First time it went through us in the legislature, because, it, you know, they actually removed it. And the Democrats are like, yes, we want to remove it. And the Republicans are like, no, we don't. Well, amazing. A couple days later, they decided maybe they don't want to remove it because they talk about it in their resolution as something that is required by state law. I guess they just didn't know what state law did 2 days ago. And amazing. When they woke up that morning, like, oh, my gosh, goodness, you know.
Oh, wait a second. Wait a second. Paying out a full dividend is required by state law. They just chose not to fund it. So exactly, is it just convenient for them to enforce state law when it's convenient for them?
I'm pretty sure that's true. Yeah, just, you know. But I'm pretty sure that if I went in my car in North Pole and decided I wanted to go 100 miles an hour, and so when a police officer would stop me over, I'd be like, you know, I've been in the legislature for a while, and while down there, I've learned that legislators say we only follow the rules that we want to, and
right.
And if we don't, there's no repercussions. So, didn't you get the memo?
I just choose not to fund.
Like, no,
I just choose not to fund you anymore. So don't write me a ticket, or I'll just choose not to fund you. I mean, you know, I
and people would be in arms if we did something like that. But yet here, it's like, are you serious? I mean, even in their sponsor statement, it talks about how it's our responsibility to pay the dividends out. You know, not any way that we want to, but by state statute and to inflation proof, while by the end of it, they're telling you to vote on this for all the reasons that they're breaking those same things.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah, no problem with that. Is there?
Oh, God. I just don't even know what to say. I mean, what? Why? I mean, what, and are they even, again, how tone deaf do you have to be? Are they even really considering what this is going to say to the people? I mean, when this comes out, that this essentially guts the permanent fund and even potentially, as you said earlier, potentially opens up access to the corpus of the fund to government spending. how many of these people are going to be all of a sudden realizing they put themselves in a very difficult spot when it comes to reelection? Because I guarantee you, I will not vote, nor will I support. No, I mean, I will vigorously fight against anybody who votes to take or change or modify the permanent fund from its original intent.
And what gets crazy, even like last year, you had Representative Ledoux put an amendment in, right, to give the whole permanent fund dividend back, right? But by the time it came up for a vote, then they took it back out. The same group, in, out, in, out. It's not about, I mean, I agree that that those who are messing with this need to be gone. But this is even more important than that, is that can they truly not understand that this is not theirs to make the decision? And Randy and I have gotten into that same kind of conversation. I just want to remind people that we don't own, you know, as we talk about North Dakota and Texas and how they do oil taxes different and all the rest, we do things different here because we have given up the rights for subsurface rights, basically to the state of Alaska. So if I were to find oil, you on your land tomorrow, unlike in North Dakota, I could just go to an oil company and make a deal. It doesn't belong to me because we decided a long time ago that we would share in the wealth together. Well, government was great about sharing the wealth with people when they got the lion's share of it. And now when they have to cut back because the lion's share should go to the public, they want to change the rules.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. All right. Okay, so again, final call for HR 23. What do we need to do to HR 23? What do we need to do to put a stop to this?
You need to call, email, because you can call even if people aren't here today. People do, you know, they'll check their messages. Emailing in, anybody who's emailing, you know, me, it's just rep.tammetamie.wilson@akleg.gov, and you get that off the internet too. I am taking, I think I've got about 20 responses already, 25 responses. All those are going into the record, will be given to my colleagues to show that people are paying attention, even if they can't testify at 1:30 on Monday, because I just want to remind again, we're going to have public testimony, a committee substitute that nobody knows what it says, but from the same group, the same mentality is going to go along with it. And they plan on passing it out of House Finance by Tuesday, from my understanding. Again, we don't, you know, we only have 4 votes of 11 on the floor by Wednesday, and then voted on Thursday or Friday, depending upon when they set session. And then now they have made the budget go even another week out, when we're, you know, at the bottom half of a 90-day session.
Right.
Because they just now figured out that they can't fund the budget. I'm pretty sure they knew that the first day we got here. Are they sure?
Pretty much. There wasn't enough in the piggy bank to make it work, but let's add more to it.
Right, because if we're broke already, we might as well spend more than we don't have, because that's the logic.
Yeah, wait, you're out and about amongst people, Tammy, probably more so, I would say, than a lot of legislators. You seem to have more interaction, in my experience, with the common Alaskan than it seems like a lot of our legislators do. So let me ask you, I mean, what is the hot? I mean, we are coming up into a very highly contested election season. We got 50 of 60 seats are going to be up for reelection. So what are the hot issues for people? I mean, is it, I know it's crime. I know it's probably the economy, and a part of that I'm sure is the PFD, but I mean, how big a deal do you think these kind of things are to the people out there who are going to be voting?
I think the PFD is still number one. And I think it's number one because if we had seriously started reducing the budget, and the only way you can find out if you've reduced enough is by looking and seeing whether or not the services that people feel are basic services. And the reason I say basic services is because that's what the state of Alaska is supposed to do, is have a level basic service of, you know, taking care of highways, public safety, education, and it should be the same across the state. Then if you want more services than that, that's when you decide if you want to be a borough or you want to be a city, or whether you're fine with basic services.
Right.
Where instead, it's like, well, we got to keep upping this and we got to keep upping that. So I still think the dividend is because you're taking my money and you're not trying to reduce. And in fact, you're putting us in such a hole now that we will never get ourselves out of it, which kind of goes along, too, you know, with the crime portion of it, is that how much of not getting PFDs, you know, has also affected the crime. Yes, you know, we have had a lot of issues with drugs, you know, and alcohol. Some of that's changed a little bit, but not as much as they make it sound. You know, a lot of it is the economy. And, you know, when you take hundreds of millions of dollars out of the economy, how you don't think that affects, you know, everybody in general is just crazy.
Right.
It just seems like people talk and they call and nobody wants to listen on it. Our OCS, Office of Children's Services, we're still taking a lot of kids, destroying families on top of it all. Nobody wants to talk about that in general. They just want to say, more money, more money. And we just got some of our scores for our education system, and they're just as low as they've been. But again, throw more money, throw more money. Where's the accountability of where all these funds are going? We've got great programs, we've got bad programs, but nobody wants to take the time and look at it. Last week we had two morning sessions for finance canceled and an afternoon one to where the budget should have been done by last Wednesday. It should have been on the floor no later than Friday and been ready on Monday to have gone through the process. And now it's just hanging out there. We're not even done with the amendments yet. I think people see this procrastination and are just getting completely frustrated. And the only way that they're going to be able to show that is through the primary in August and then the general in November. But things have gotten really bad with the governor we had. He sets the tone. And I have never seen a governor have as much legislation as he has. And it just more restrictions and more restrictions on so many things and more money being spent. And we still haven't taken care of races and health care and all those others because we don't seem to want to have those serious conversations. And we have to have them. From Medicaid, $90 million more, really?
Yeah, I mean, for this year alone. Not just Medicaid for next year. That's just to true up for this year.
2018, a third of Alaskans, one third, are on Medicaid. And Medicaid is based on how much money you make and how many assets you have. A third, that's horrible. You know, what are we doing wrong? But let's don't discuss it. Let's discuss resolutions to take people's money and add more to government instead of, you know, figuring out, you know, where is it all going?
Tammy Wilson is our guest. We're up against a break. We got a phone call on hold. We're going to take your call when we get back. We'll return. Don't go anywhere. The Michael Duke Show continues right here on KFAR 660 AM.
Don't feel like talking on the phone? No problem. Drop an email to the show. Just email me at michaeldukeshow.com. That's me at michaeldukeshow.com. Or join us in our chat room anytime during the show. Just go to kfar660.com and click on the Chat With Us link. And now, back to the Michael Duke Show.
Welcome back to your home for Common Sense Radio, the weekend edition of the Michael Duke Show. Thanks for being part of it. Probably next week sometime. We're going to be kicking things off for the weekday show again. We'll be broadcasting live on Facebook and over the interwebs. You can check us out there. We'll let you know. Just go out to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Michael Duke Show, if you want to get all the details. Tammy Wilson's our guest. We've been talking about HJR 23, which is the Democrats' attempt to basically break up and steal your permanent fund. It's a constitutional amendment. I guess the good news is, Tammy, is that at least if it goes to the people, it would probably be soundly defeated. But I guess the question is whether it would actually get out there. You're saying probably no at this point.
Well, it takes 27 votes. I mean, I can't vote in favor of this. I mean, I completely believe that the people should have a vote on everything, you know, as long as it's clear about what it does. You know,
right.
People start twisting the facts, and I don't know exactly what the language would look like on there. And I'm not going to put something bad that's bad for Alaska, and this is really bad for Alaska.
Let's take some phone calls. Somebody's been holding here for a little while, so I want to make sure we get some calls in at 458-TALK, 458-8255. Good evening. You're on the air with Tammy.
Hi, this is Randy again in a different hour.
Okay, Randy.
I wanted to get your opinion, and Tammy's too, about a national issue, maybe something you hadn't heard about, but See what you think about this. And it's analogous to our situation with PFD and so forth. But the federal government has 28% of all the acres in the United States, and about a quarter of that, like about 7%, is available for leasing for oil and gas and so forth. And I read from the U.S. Energy Information Administration that in 2016, U.S. collected almost $6 billion in revenues, royalties, rental costs, and other fees for energy production, coal, oil, natural gas, hydrocarbon gas, liquids, and such. Anyway, this, when it's on federal land, for the most part, people can't have private ownership of that land. I mean, they own it collectively, but they don't have the mineral rights to it. This includes onshore and offshore land. And I was wondering, do you think that it would be a good idea to take the royalties and all the revenue the federal government earns off of this land that the people don't have mineral rights to and disperse it in an annual national PFD sort of thing? Now, it wouldn't be much, of course, because if you divide like $6 billion by 300 million people, it's only about $20 a year, so that's not much, but it's something. I'm not really, at first blush, I'm not in favor of this, but what do you think?
Well, I'd say first that I'd be more in favor of taking that $6 billion a year and putting it into a fund. And then if you want to pay out of the fund in the earnings of the fund, that would be one thing. Utilize a portion for government. If they wanted to match something like that off the permanent fund, then first they'd have to put the seed in to actually generate the revenue. I think that would make more sense. But again, I question the whole use of lots of land that the government owns that they shouldn't be owning to begin with. But that's just me. Tammy?
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. First of all, if you wanted to do it like the permanent fund, it would be only the earnings. Otherwise, once here, it's gone. And how many people would you take to hire to give everybody $20 back?
Yeah.
But the bigger part for me is, and especially in Alaska, why are they able to sit on so much? I mean, we're not even talking about parks at this point, but they have land out there that has minerals in it that they don't want to develop, but somebody else may want to. At some point, they and the state need to get out of the business of holding land, basically a hostage from everybody else, and share it with the rest of us. Less than 1% is in private hands in the state of Alaska. Utah's at least trying to fight back on that.
Yeah, yeah. And I got to say this right now, again, my biggest question is how much land should the government actually own? I mean, technically, according to the Constitution and the writings of the founders, all they were supposed to own was military installations, essentially, and things that were essential for government. And now we've got the government owning, as Randy pointed out, 28% of all acreage in the entire country. That's huge swaths of, in fact, if you look at the origins of what the so-called Sagebrush Rebellion in the West, and that was because there was huge states where the vast majority of the land in the state was owned by the federal government. That, to me, makes no sense whatsoever. Get it into private hands. That's where wealth comes from. That's where money and economics and job creation comes from, not from the government.
Well, and take a step further, the Mental Health Trust puts their land to work, where they sell it if they need to, or they develop it.
Right, they develop it or sell it if they need to.
Right, and we have a university who just got $19 million more put into the budget while they're sitting on land. And they've had somebody looking at it for over 17 years who still hasn't figured out, you know, what they need to do, even though we have a model. And the state is just as bad. The state was supposed to take a whole bunch of the land the federal government gave them. Some they did get to some of the boroughs, and slowly but surely they let some of it out, but not the good land.
The worst part is the University of Alaska is a land grant college. That's what it's supposed to. That's why the land was granted to them so that they could fund themselves into the future, and they've never done it. They've never done well with it.
No,
Randy, does that answer your question?
Yeah, I appreciate you thinking about that and giving me an answer on that. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Randy. Thanks very much. Tammy, you wanted to say something else?
Well, it's just excuse after excuse. We've had them in front of us. They were even at a mining meeting. Well, we'll look at it closer. What is there to look at? Mental Health Trust, go meet with their board, find out how they do it, and do the same thing. But as long as they can just go to the state and get more and more money added, when they have the most opportunities to be able to generate money, it just seems like they'd rather just stick their hand out and get it on the state level instead. Which is just unfortunate because there's a lot more that could be done.
Tammy, we're up against a break again. Can you stick with us for a little bit? Are you still?
Sure.
Okay. All right. I got a call on hold. And I know you're on hold. I know you've been on hold for 4 minutes and 47 seconds. Hold on 1 minute, though. I'm up. I'm a slave to the clock. We got to go up against the break. We're going to be back with more. Don't go anywhere. The Michael Duke Show continues right here on KFAR 660 AM.
Your mental suppository. The Michael Duke Show.
She makes me die. Want to see inside Michael's head? Just log on to Facebook and search The Michael Duke Show. You'll find articles and stories with a common sense theme. Not on Facebook? You can see the same stories by logging on to MichaelDukeShow.com.
Welcome back to The Michael Duke Show Common Sense Radio. That's what we do each and every Saturday right here. It's brought to you in part by some good folks, including your friends over there at Fairbanks Hearing and Balance Center. They want to remind you one thing. Hearing loss is a medical condition. I mean, it deals with one of your senses. It's part of your whole body. And it's an extremely complicated system. It's not simple. You just throw something at to try and fix. Sometimes hearing loss is straightforward, but oftentimes it requires extensive training to assess what that loss is caused by and what it's going to eventually lead to. These kind of analysis is only done by an adequately trained audiologist. This is an individual who's gone through 4 years, of graduate school to learn about hearing. And if possible, evaluation should be done by an audiologist who is also backed up by a board-certified ear physician. They got a fancy name for that. It's otolaryngologist. I think I butchered that one. Doesn't matter. When it comes down to it, there's really only one place in town where you can go that has the certified professionals backed up by board-certified docs, and that is Fairbanks Hearing and Balance Center in the Ear, Nose, and Throat Clinic in the Medical Dental Arts Building over there at 1919 Lathrop Street. I mean, anybody could tell you that they're giving you a free hearing screening, but remember, free is sometimes you get what you pay for. And the bottom line is that a lot of insurance companies will only reimburse or pay for screenings or testing if it's done by a certified audiologist. Same thing goes for hearing aids. You got to have that doctor's stamp to get the insurance companies to sign off on a device that, quite frankly, is fairly expensive when it comes down to it. But more than anything, you want to make sure your hearing loss is looked at from a medical perspective, not just getting into a set of hearing aids. So if you're having hearing problems, get a hold of the folks over there at Fairbanks Hearing and Balance Center. You can find out more at fairbankshearing.com or give them a call, 328-6250. All right, let's go back now to taking your phone calls and see what it is that you want to talk about.
458-TALK, 458-8255. Somebody's been on hold for Tammy Wilson for quite a bit here, so we want to get to them first. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Mike Dukes and Tammy. This is Jack. How are you guys doing?
Jack, how are you doing, my friend?
Let's get things back into Alaska. Tammy, you remember that no cross trespassing sign you and I talked about that Lance Roberts had made up?
Right.
You'd be surprised that thousands of people in this city, North Pole, have no clue, never seen them, don't know anything about them. And I'm going to go somewhere with this right quick. You remember that log cabin that was up there in the corner of our turnabout by Pizza Hut?
Right.
Well, the lady that owns that, she has become a tyrant in this community. Not legally, but she's doing it, and she's really knocking on doors. She has no legal right to do it, but people need a copy of that sign some way, somehow. I've got several, just in case mine gets torn off at my driveway. The other thing I want to bring up is, and you and I talked about a week ago, we need to get a governor in this place that, well, work for Alaskans, the people in the community. I'll bunny trail. When Dukes was up here and Mike and Steve Floyd were here on a daily basis, people were informed up here. Mike had to move south. Steve got caught up in politics. But the people in this community, especially North Pole, have no clue what's going on. The other day, it's been several days, up at Sourdough here in North Pole. Those air quality people, that is a state job. Correct me if I'm wrong, because they had state air quality on the side of their trucks. And they were asked, well, what happens If you see smoke, then we report it. It's not Burra doing that. It's the state of Alaska doing that, and well paid at that. Two people, two jobs, well paid, driving around with air sensors sticking out their windows, and people have no clue about this. The Burra goes through this wood stove business, trading them in. Now they're trying to take them away. I'm going to change another subject. Hearst Road in North Pole is one of the worst places to put those meters. And I talked to a guy, and he wouldn't say much because he said, I don't want to lose my job. We're doing them where we're told to put them. The other thing, how do we fix Juno? I've talked to you about this, and I'm blue in the face, and you've given me what you could, and your back's against the wall. Enough is enough. This state has got to wake up. If it's not Juno, it's Walker. And I hope Dunleavy gets elected. People have no idea what's happening to the dividend, no idea where that money went and what they're doing with it, and you explain it to me. It went to the general fund, and you explain that to me. People have got to wake up. They've got more drug problems and other issues that need to be dealt with. And those guys in Juneau are just sitting down there drawing a paycheck and not standing for the people of Alaska. Not standing for anything except their own pockets and what they can benefit from. Makes me sick.
All right, Jack.
People in this community have, it irritates me. When Deuce and Floyd were here, people knew what was going on. We can't listen to Mike during the week.
Let's let Tammy respond here, and I'll give you another crack at it, Jack. Go ahead, Tammy.
Well, Jack's completely right. With you gone, it's to try to find a fact somewhere, good luck, or even information at all. We hear just taped radio shows, and that's really disappointing. And I do think you've seen a drop in activity in the Fairbanks North Pole area. Just on the air quality, at the last meeting they have, I just have to do this because this is so ironic. So I guess the people showing up who are saying, you know, you don't have a right to shut our stoves down, are doing an awesome job. They showed up in numbers in North Pole. And then again at the Noel Wien Library in Fairbanks, they had nerve enough to get up and say, you don't want the state or the federal government to take over because things could get really bad. They are shutting us down. I mean, where you get, I mean, two people thus far have gotten a $500 ticket. Now, the one person I know has not paid it. I don't know yet about the second person, whether not they paid it, because it just goes as a judgment at this point on the court view. But what are they going to do worse? Over 50 days of shutdowns. You know, number one, just so people know this, I'm going to find out about the state having something on the trucks. That was not my understanding, is that they have trucks out there. I know once in a while they have people out there taking pictures for the borough, which we've made a big noise about. They can't write tickets. The state can't at all.
No, they report it, Tammy. They call in, and then the borough sends out their Gestapo.
Correct. No, you're absolutely right. So things going to the state, it does not make it worse because the state cannot write tickets. And what do you think would happen in North Pole, Alaska, if the EPA decided to do what they did to the miners and bring armed people to shut down wood stoves? You know, if you really want to bring attention to this whole thing faster than ever, let that happen. But, you know, it's all because we have an initiative in the fall again, you know, trying to, you know, make the borough back off, that all of a sudden they're bringing out, quote, unquote, their big guns. But at this point, with the shutdowns, they've got nothing to stand on at all.
Tammy, pardon me. You and I discussed this. The people in this community had no clue on that last vote. They voted yes, and they thought it meant no. And if they voted no, it meant yes. And it was the way that the ballot was written. But the people in this town are not going to do anything unless it affects them. And by that time, it is too late.
Well, we'll be campaigning big time this year. We have never had the opportunity because we've always been getting signatures. And I don't think you'll see that same confusion.
I don't want to see anyone get hurt. But this lady, she's a tall, slender, gray-haired woman that owned that property on the corner there across from Pizza Hut. She's going around door knocking, creating problems. And I'll tell you right now, I'm not threatening, but there's going to be some people that they cry, and we need to get those signs out and available to people so they understand the legality of trespassing. It's state law, and Lance Roberts got invaded They were down at the fairgrounds a couple of years ago.
A couple of years ago, right.
Yeah.
So who is the gal who's out there? I don't know who owns it.
I don't know her name, but she's the one that owns that corner property there across from Pizza Hut.
Okay, I'll look it up.
And she's banging on doors. A good friend of mine, I shan't let the name out, talked to those trucks up there. There was four of them. And the drivers
were just four state trucks?
Those air quality trucks parked up there at Sourdough.
Yeah, but do they say the state on it, or are they just air quality trucks?
They were state employees, quote unquote, making good bucks. And this is absurd. The next thing is, how in the God's name can we get you support down in Juneau? Your back's against the wall.
Well, there's an election coming up in November.
When you talked to me that day, I mean, you can only say so much and do so much. Some of the questions I ask you and the answers I got, do these people down in Juneau care? They just turn around and walk away when you have an eye-to-eye discussion. We've got Democrats, liberals, and leftists in this town that are killing us. People are leaving this state. The borough's getting away with murder. And I got tired of going down there trying to talk to them. Pardon me. Don't piss up my leg and tell me it's raining, okay? I'm sorry. That's the way those people are. And they've gotten away with this. And how in the world can Juneau change the Constitution without the vote of the people?
Oh, well, they'll have to have a vote of the people.
They're going to have to take it to the people. No, they'll have to take it to the people. The problem is that once a ballot measure gets on there, a lot of groups, and a lot of times they're not even Alaska groups, get out there and just start twisting and turning.
Yeah, the PR machine goes into full. Concern. Yeah, the PR machine goes into full tilt boogie at that point. So, Jack, I appreciate your phone call. Thank you. I know you're agitated. And I know you're upset. I wish there was another answer that I could give you, man. But it just means that we can't grow weary in well doing. You know, and I know that since I left Fairbanks, things have gotten a little destitute on the information front. But like I said earlier in the program, we're going to be doing the weekday broadcast on the internet, and we'll be doing it through Facebook. So I know some of you out there maybe not as computer savvy, but we'll find you ways that you can listen every morning and figure out what's going on. Thanks for your call, Jack. Tammy.
Well, just so you don't cut yourself short, you know, you have seen less voting. You've seen a lot less information actually getting out to the public since you have left, and you have been very much missed.
Well, I appreciate that.
And I'm not just
that.
Talking for myself.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. I mean, you know, I I think that, you know, maybe in the future we'll have something where we can do something, you know, get some stuff on the airwaves. But right now, Saturday is what we got to deal with. Like I said, on the week, maybe here within the next week or so, we'll be doing something back on the Daily Show again, but on the internet. So hopefully folks can tune in for that. Let's go back to the phones here. 458 Talk. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey. I agree with that guy. We need Steve Floyd back to tell us what's going on the radio every day.
All right. Thanks so much. Appreciate your call. Tammy, my question, one of my questions to you, one of the two things that I wanted to bring up, one was I see that, was it Chris Tuck? Who was it? Somebody instituted or put forward a bill in response to the Florida shooting that would require seizure of people's firearms Garantar. That's right. What's happening with that? Give us some rundown on that.
I think it kind of is stuck still. Thank goodness. What this would be is that a family member could go in and say that they have, I don't know to what level concern you would have to have. And
right.
From my understanding, they would then have to say where the guns were located and if they were able to tell their case, because I don't know about proofing, you know, actually what kind of proof at that time, kind of like
right.
When you go and you get a protection order. But the scary part is then the police could go in and wherever you're storing the guns and take them out, and then you would then have to worry, you know, 30, 60 days later, go and show them why they didn't have any reason for doing that.
Right. There's no due process before it happens.
No,
it basically happens.
At all.
Yeah. Yeah. It happens on the spot.
Well, and also definitions of, you know, what actually would constitute enough information to be able to do that for the very beginning, because it's almost like, well, we'll just kind of give you a free pass because nobody wants to be the one to say you shouldn't have done it. And then something does happen. But then you're just putting, you know, all the rest of it on the person in which they took it. And again,
right.
it's kind of like the way you started the show out with. Why does anybody want to have the true discussion of what's going on? And
because,
that's what you have to do.
Because it doesn't fit their agenda. That's why nobody wants to have a true discussion, because it doesn't fit the agenda that they're purporting out there.
Correct. And, well, not just that, then the facts would get in the way of what they want to do. And
right.
They would hate for that to happen.
Yeah, no, don't let the facts get in the way of a perfectly good argument. Don't let
right,
the facts get in the way at all.
Right, that might confuse you in some fashion.
Yeah.
But,
no,
but I think
I,
that really is it. They don't, you know, because as you said before, when you look, you know, and I don't want to minimize what happened in any of these shootings, whether it's, you know, at a school or the one that was in Vegas, or when people go and I heard something, there was another shooting that happened. But bad people will get, no matter what rules you make, will figure a way to go around them. All you do, and schools, in my opinion, is one of those places. When you make a gun-free zone, whether you're talking about the university or where you're talking about, you have just opened it up to those kinds of people who have no morals, you know,
right.
to do it, to say, well, if I really want to make some kind of really bad, you know, decision and a point, well, I'm going to go where the likelihood is of me getting shot is little to none. And that's the whole reason
right.
concealed carry is so important, is because I feel comfort knowing that a lot of people in my area do concealed carry. And to know if something bad were to happen, we wouldn't all just be sitting there hoping that they ran out of bullets. I don't want
right.
to be in that position. I want to make sure, and I've done training myself, and I continue to do, you know, firearm training, because you do have to have training go around it. You don't just say, here's a gun, good luck, you know, trying to use it.
Yeah,
you
I love people who treat you. I love people who treat a firearm like some kind of magical, mystical totem that now that I have it and it's in my pocket, I'm safe. No. It's a tool like anything else. I don't hand you a flute and expect you to be able to just, you know, play, you know, skip to the Lou My Darling on it without any kind of practice or instruction. You've got, it doesn't happen that way.
Well, and also if you're, you know, the likelihood is if you're ever going to have to use it, it's going to be in a highly stressful time. You know, it's not going to be just, you know, odds are you and whoever it is who has the other gun.
Right.
There's going to be other people around, and so you need to know how to react in the proper fashion so that, you know, you can do exactly what you're trying to do. But for the answer to be that we should just take it away from people and then base it on an age, you know, and I had brought this up too. We let people go into the Army, Air Force at age 18. We train them how to be it. Now, can you imagine coming back from Afghanistan at 19 or 20 and then wanting to go and just buy, you know, bullets for the gun you have at home and have to go to your mom to say, hey, can you come buy them for me?
Yeah, exactly. No, it's totally, yeah, it's crazy stuff. Tammy Wilson's our guest. We're about 9 minutes before the top of the hour. Tammy, hold on. We're going to take you through the top. We got a couple lines on hold. We're going to do that, but I got more bills to pay. Back with more of the Michael Duke Show continues right here on KFAR.
Your mental suppository. The Michael Duke Show.
Want to see inside Michael's head? Just log on to Facebook and search The Michael Duke Show. You'll find articles and stories with a common sense theme. Not on Facebook? You can see the same stories by logging on to MichaelDukeShow.com.
All right, we're up against it here. We got a couple more calls. We got Tammy Wilson on the phone. Let's continue ahead here and see what you have to say at 458 Talk. Good evening. You're on the air with Tammy.
Mike, Tammy, Jack again, right quick. The one thing I did not say is people in this community do not and are not aware of the drug sales that's going on in all the major big parking lots in this town and North Pole. And it's ridiculous. We've got
Tammy?
Problems to solve, and no one's doing anything about it. And the big problem is Walker and Juno, Tammy. And you and I talked about this.
Yeah.
Well, and I find it interesting, instead of dealing with those kind of issues, the bag fee is still making its way through committee and just had another one in Labor and Commerce, because that is where their priorities are.
Right, the bag fee, the plastic bag fee. Yeah, that makes total sense. Total and complete sense.
That should be a high priority over public safety.
Jack, thank you so much for your call. Tammy, I sent you when I talked to you, I emailed you yesterday about coming on the program. I sent you a story that's been going around because one of the big things that's been happening across the country, of course, that seems to be getting a little more exposure to the general public is this issue of asset forfeiture. And so much for our president being so much for the American people, he's got an attorney general out there that's just in love with this idea of asset forfeiture, which, of course, is completely unconstitutional. It completely abrogates due process, but it's being used across the country to the tune of something like $2.9 billion a year in overall money. That's more than actual crime. That's more than actual personal property theft in this country. More assets received through asset forfeiture than people actually losing personal property from actual criminals. And so there's been lots of states that have been talking about and been putting into place basically either bars on asset forfeiture or very high hurdles for these agencies to have to go through. Is that something that you'd be willing to carry the water on?
Well, we actually have a bill, and it was really good until the Department of Law got a hold of it. and when it came out of judiciary, it was little to nothing. And most people, I would think, believe that you would have to get arrested before they could seize any of your things here in the state of Alaska.
Oh, no.
That is
not
true. They can take your stuff and hold on to it for a very long time. All we were trying to do to start was at least get a procedure going. You're right.
Right.
So they took your stuff that you could get it back.
Right.
And they didn't even want to do that because they don't take much stuff. Well, if you don't take much of it, then what's your problem with having a procedure to go with it? It just doesn't make any sense. And then what they do is they use that, the items that they took, whatever it is, and then start using well, maybe you are guilty, and do you ever want to get it back? If you do,
yeah,
then we're going to start using it as a pawn.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens right here at home. I think one of the stories that we had was that somebody was driving a car, right, and they were going to pay cash for a vehicle. They're on the way to go buy it. And they got stopped by a police officer, and they took all the money because they said there's no way, even though he showed the thing from eBay, showed how much it was, had all that information with him, said, no, you must be going to make a drug buy, and therefore we need to take the money.
Right.
I mean,
No. Yeah. And, of course, never charge him with a crime or her with a crime. Never charge, you know, all this other kind of stuff. They just seize it. And the worst part, and the worst kept secret is, of course, is that then they use it to fund themselves.
Oh, yeah, because, like, boats and airplanes here, you get to keep them. I mean, we actually have a statute that says public safety, if they seize a boat or an airplane, they can keep it as part of their, you know, inventory.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. No.
And
well,
they did, there was a case a couple years ago that somebody had a six-pack of beer somebody took on a plane into a dry community, and they confiscated the plane over a six-pack of beer.
Wow.
And that's the other thing, too. It doesn't have to be. The crime doesn't have to fit the forfeiture because that would make too much sense.
So yeah,
we're trying
to
do it, but right now the way things are down here, you're not going to. So we will be starting all over again in January.
I wish I could have time to take this phone call, but I'm out of time. Tammy Wilson, again, folks want to get their comments in on HJR 23, the permanent fund bill. What do they do? Where do they send it? Quickly?
Yeah, you can send it to me. Go on my webpage. You can Facebook if you want to, or call in at 1:30 on Monday and provide your testimony in person.
All right, Tammy Wilson, thanks so much for the time. I appreciate it. We're going to be back. We got Finer Things up next. Don't go anywhere. The Michael Duke Show continues with Finer Things. We'll see you next weekend. Have a great day.